Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media.
CBS News Brief. President Trump has weighed in on Truth Social after House Speaker Mike Johnson joined the growing chorus of Republicans calling for the Justice Department to release the Jeffrey Epstein files. CBS's Scott McFarland.
Not sure this is going to cool the fire of the Jeffrey Epstein conspiracy theories, but in a social media post, the president just called this a Democratic hoax.
A 22-year-old suspect is under arrest in the murders of a top American Idol executive and her husband at their home in L.A., Police Lieutenant Guy Golan.
They found both of the victims deceased who had suffered from multiple gunshot wounds.
A U.S.-run, Israeli-backed aid organization says 20 Palestinians were killed at a distribution site in Gaza, most trampled in a stampede. The BBC's Yolande Nell.
A witness saying that many of these boys had pushed forwards in their effort to get the food handouts at this site and were trapped in an area between two fences.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. When Governor Evers signed the new state budget into law, he called it a win for Wisconsin's kids and families. But childcare providers say the support for their industry isn't enough. Parker Olson reports.
The new state budget spends over $360 million to stabilize Wisconsin's child care system. It was a key demand for Governor Evers in budget negotiations with Republican lawmakers. The state funding comes as federal funding has run out. The pandemic-era relief program Child Care Counts has sent out its final payments. But providers say the state budget still falls short. Outside the state capitol on Friday, they described just how fragile the industry remains.
This week, I experienced one of the most difficult moments since opening. My entire staff has resigned. For 6 months, I've been trying to hire new teachers, but every qualified candidate needed a starting wage of at least $17 per hour, a rate I simply cannot offer without additional funding.
That's Ashley Blackett, owner of Tiny Diny Academy in Durand, Northwest Wisconsin. Advocates say the industry is being squeezed on three sides. Child care is too expensive for families, too costly to run, and pays too little to retain staff. The new two-year state budget directs money in multiple ways. Governor Evers has declared 2025 the year of the kid and said he wouldn't sign a budget that lacked child care funding. The budget also increases special education reimbursements, though not as much as advocates wanted. Last year, voters approved a record number of school district referenda. That's according to a report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Corrine Hedrickson, who runs Corrine's Little Explorers in New Glarus, says that kind of pressure could backfire, especially given the way the budget is being sold by the education governor.
And as soon as the schools start raising property taxes, the community no longer trusts the people that they thought they trusted.
Demonstrators also delivered a letter to the governor's office Friday, saying he should call the legislature into a special session for more funding.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR WIRI News.
A few scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible later today and tonight, and a couple of those could be strong to severe. Otherwise, mostly cloudy today with a high in the low 80s. It will be a little muggy. Tonight will drop into the 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high right around 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 75.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thanks for joining us here on Mornings at 97.5 FM WFHR. Your host, James, behind the mic, joined by Seth.
Hello.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. We're going to have some fun this hour. I'm going to get in some entertainment news in a moment, a little bit later. How many people will accept a thumbs up from dad as a as emotional stuff? Like, that counts. We'll get into that.
You better believe it counts. Yeah.
We'll get into that a little bit later. Also got a good one. The most and least offensive swear words are...
Okay.
We say good morning to the FCC.
Yes, hello.
You're
listening,
you know,
yes.
Go ahead and keep listening for that segment. Yep. And just to stay right there on the edge. Well, we jump into entertainment news, and the 2025 Emmy nominations were announced yesterday.
All right.
A bunch of people, people are usually more upset about the people that weren't nominated or things that weren't.
That tends to be the thing, yeah, right.
But I don't know if I've ever seen this much outcry and anger about that before. A lot of people were upset that Squid Game didn't get any nominations.
Okay.
After six awards for its final season. So announced yesterday, and Squid Game got, yeah, okay, so let's take a look at this.
All right, let's do it.
The Handmaid's Tale only got one nod for a Sherry Jones guest starring role. A lot of people were upset about that, going into its final season.
That's right.
A pretty iconic show.
It has become that, yeah, absolutely.
Yellow Jackets got Nada this year for its third season, despite getting 10 nominations for his first two.
Wow.
And Patrick Schwarzenegger was not recognized for going the White Lotus and doing his work in that, and a lot of people thought he should have been. As for the positives, Martin Scorsese and Ron Howard received their first ever Emmy nominations for acting.
Really?
They guest spotted on Seth Rogen's The Studio Show.
Oh, okay.
At 83, the wonderful, the great Harrison Ford got his first Emmy nominee for Apple TV's Shrinking.
Okay.
And that's pretty cool to see.
That is very cool to see. Wow.
And Kathy Bates became the oldest nominee for Best Drama Actress for Matlock at 77.
Wow.
That's really cool.
That is really cool. And you know what? Couldn't go to a more deserving person.
Really?
She is just, her body of work, you know, it speaks for herself. She has made such a great career, and she is just so darn good.
Kendrick Lamar's Super Bowl halftime show got four nominations, including Outstanding Live Variety Special.
That's interesting.
Pretty interesting.
Okay.
But the most interesting thing, I think, to come out of it was the fact that Severance led all nominations.
Oh, wow.
They
okay.
had 27 nominations.
Holy mackerel.
Now, noteworthy for it being a streaming service, it comes from Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Noteworthy that I think it's a show that was very grassroots built. A lot of fans built that one. They actually weren't even sure if they're going to bring it back for a second season because streaming numbers are so hard to gauge. But the social media talking about the show and everything really led them to realize, that's a successful show.
So that used to happen back in the 90s when they would clog the fax machine, right?
Yes.
Making them unable to do business because they want a show back, right?
And I think of something, and I haven't seen the show, but I'll admit Adam Scott and John Turturro are on the show, and they're two of my favorites. I like those guys.
Very cool.
When I see something like that, I see a show that gets two more seasons.
Mm.
I see two more years of paychecks for actors, for editors, for the best boy.
All the people that are on the set, yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That 27 was only followed by The Penguin at 24.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was
a good remarkable.
Show. Yeah, I didn't expect that.
Wow.
The studio and White Lotus each have 23 apiece. The Last of Us rounded it out. The top five was 16. But four of the top five are HBO shows.
It tells you something.
The home box office, or as we used to call it in our house, the Hebrew box office. Just a joke. We just like doing that. HBO is back. HBO.
They are.
People were talking about a couple of years ago that they weren't going to bounce back from The Sopranos.
Mm.
And then a couple of years after that, people were saying they wouldn't be able to bounce back from Game of Thrones. I don't know that you have a more stable network than HBO.
Right.
It's wild to me to say that sentence out loud coming from where we did as kids when the home box office was just they were just going to give this a shot.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, and they were just, when we were kids, I mean, they were just a movie channel.
Yeah.
You know, they were the first, you know, of the cable movie channels, right?
Yeah.
And HBO was synonymous with just, you know, showing movies all through the night. And then, you know, and then they took their foray. I believe it was Oz, correct? Wasn't that the first one they actually?
Yeah.
Really, and it wasn't.
Well, maybe. There was another show, a comedy that was before that. I can't think of it. Oz was the first one to start getting critical acclaim.
Exactly. And it wasn't like a ratings gangbuster, you know, but like you said, it was very well thought of as, you know, good drama and that kind of stuff, you know, and they could do stuff on HBO that you couldn't do on other TV shows, right?
Yeah, that's just it.
You know, that's part of it, too. I think we mustn't lose that as well.
I think that it's, and this is part of why I feel like it's never really been fair to compare HBO, any streaming service, anybody who doesn't have to go by the rating system.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. it's so much more difficult to write and do TV when you have boundaries than when you don't.
Right. Right. It is true. Now, clever writers can do it, but and they have done it for many, many years. But at the same time, if you want to get down deep into whatever it is you're working on, you kind of need to be able to do that.
Nate Bargatze is hosting. Let's see if he can go 5 seconds without insulting some race, creed, or religion. I don't know. I don't know that he's a great host. I'm sorry. Comedians like this, I have no problem with that style of comedy. I grew up on that style of comedy. But when that's your only thing, that's the only thing you can do. You can't do any other style of comedy. You're not a true comedian to me. No. You got to have the full arc. Anybody can be. You know what made Don Rickles amazing is that he wasn't just an insult comic.
No, he wasn't.
He could also reference and talk about other things and do other jokes and that kind of thing. The Emmys
hosted The Tonight Show, for crying out loud.
Right. The Emmys air on Sunday, September 14th on CBS.
All right.
And taking a look at the actual nominations, just looking at a couple of categories: the best drama series, Andor, The Diplomat, The Last of Us, Paradise, The Pit, Severance, Slow Horses, and The White Lotus.
Okay.
That show Paradise on Hulu was a real game changer for them. That did really well.
Cool.
A lot of people enjoyed that. The Pit has seen some real cool success, and interesting to see a medical drama that focuses on more on that style.
Right. It's very different from ER, right? In a lot of ways, which I give Noah Wiley a lot of credit for jumping into that, jumping into the pit.
Nicely done. If you are a fan of spy and cloak and dagger type shows or anything like that, I cannot recommend Slow Horses enough. Gary Oldman stars in it, which I am obviously biased, one of my top five actors. But he's so good, and the cast is so good.
Nice.
And BBC does stuff just different. The budget and the time that they put into these things, you're almost hard pressed to find any BBC show where anybody who even has one line is not a theater actor.
Right.
Like they don't have bad actors over there. It really don't. And I'm not saying that they have better actors than us or anything like that.
No.
It's just the way that you're trained over there compared to
is
so very different.
Yep.
I love that show, and I'm so happy to see it nominated. It will not win, but I'm happy to see it nominated.
Very cool, though.
Best comedy series: The Wonderful Abbott Elementary, The Bear, Hacks, Nobody Wants This, Only Murders in the Building, Shrinking, The Studio, and What We Do in the Shadows.
All right.
I love
that's a good list. Yeah.
And as far as best actor in a series, Sterling K. Brown for Paradise, Gary Oldman for Slow Horses, Pedro Pascal for The Last of Us, Adam Scott for Severance, and Noah Wiley for The Pit.
Nice.
Best actress, as we mentioned before, Kathy Bates for Matlock, Sharon Hogan for Bad Sisters, Britt Lauer for Severance, Bella Ramsey for The Last of Us, and Kerry Russell for The Diplomat. Seeing Kerry Russell show up on there
once again, man, she's great, man. What a career she's carved out.
Really?
She's done a great job.
Best actor in a comedy series: Adrian Brody for Nobody Wants This, Seth Rogen for The Studio, Jason Segel for Shrinking, Martin Short for Only Murders in the Building, and Jeremy Allen White for The Bear.
Nice.
Best actress in a comedy series: Uzza Obola for Residence, Kristen Bell for Nobody Wants This, Quintina Brunson for Abbott Elementary, Ayo Abadea for The Bear, and Jean Smart for Hacks.
Nice. Jean Smart. Love Jean Smart.
Big fan. You can check the complete, a lot of other great
actors. There's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, John Turturro got nominated. That's fantastic to see. Again, and we mentioned before, Harrison and Ford. A shout out to Bowen Yang getting a nomination for his work on SNL. That's kind of cool.
That's neat.
Catherine O'Hara also got a nomination, along with Catherine Hahn.
Yeah.
That's always cool to see.
Love them all.
So you can catch the complete nominations, and again, the awards will be soon.
Yes.
Wanted to take a moment for this, and I, coming back from my classic rock days and growing up with my father and a big fan of that style of rock and roll, there are, for every band I loved and I are nostalgic to me, there are bands that I was like, I can't do it. I played this music for 9 years. It got old to me real quick.
Can't do it.
And one of those bands was ELO.
Oh,
just not an ELO guy as a younger person. Yeah. Going back to perspective again, as I got older, I started to kind of dig a little bit of it and kind of enjoy some of it. And I'm a big, big fan of layers to music, and I never really gave them credit to that.
Oh, Jeff Lynne will layer your music.
Once I start, I'm so late to this party, but I want to own that
and
just give respect to that. Like, oh my God, they're a heck of a lot better band than I realized. I did not give them enough credit or anything like that. In particular, who you mentioned there, Jeff Lynne.
Yep.
Well, ELO's singer Jeff Lynne was forced to cancel his final live show event the other day in London because he's battling a systematic infection.
Aww.
It was supposed to be the final stop of on his Over and Out farewell tour. Great name.
That's good.
His team says, quote, he's currently in the care of a team of doctors who have advised him that performing is simply not possible at this time.
All right.
Nor will he be able to reschedule. The legacy of the band and his longtime fans are foremost in Jeff's mind today, and while he is sorry he cannot perform, he knows that he must focus on his health and his rehabilitation.
Yes.
It's not clear if there will be a different final show or not once Jeff is better, since he was the only original member in his version of ELO.
Yes.
Maybe it wouldn't be too complicated. To put together a proper farewell.
Right, and basically ELO has been for basically since it's like first or second albums has been Jeff Lynne, basically, yeah, and a bunch of other people.
I come back to Strange Magic. That song is so much more complex and deeper. I would flip it whenever I would hear it as a kid or in my classic rock days or anything like that. Now when I hear it, I feel like I'm hearing it for the first time every time I hear it.
That's really cool to be able to do that with stuff. Yeah, their whole catalog has a lot of the songs in there that are like that. It does reward some close listening, I'll say.
They did we did this way back in the day, Carl and I, and this is long before Guardians of the Galaxy or any of that stuff and everything. Yep. They kind of ELO and some bands like that got a second life. They did it like the happiest song of all time, Mr. Blue Sky.
Mr. Blue Sky.
They consider that at least the Rolling Stone survey we read.
Right, which is cool though. That is a very upbeat song. I got to give him credit for that.
Yeah, I wish him good health.
Yes,
wish him
too.
Well, whatever he does. And I would say, you know, I would move away from the whole last show thing.
Yeah.
You know, they just, you know, that's
he's getting up there anyway. So, yeah.
Well, and that's an artist like that, Jeff Lynne, who is at the tail end and who has accomplished so much and done so much. And then we look at somebody like Miley Cyrus, who I would say is probably in, not in the beginning of their career by any means.
No.
But I wouldn't say she's anywhere close to the end of her career by any means either. Somewhere in that middle spot, kind of. Well, Miley Cyrus released her latest album, Something Beautiful, last month, but she has no desire to promote it with a tour.
Oh, okay.
She says she has the physical ability and opportunities, but she doesn't want to risk her sobriety and mental health. So with Jeff Lynne, it's much more of a body physical thing. With her, we're talking much more mental health
thing, yeah.
Quote, it's really hard to maintain sobriety when you're on the road, which is really important, a pillar of stability in my life. It's really hard to keep mental wellness. You have so many thousands of people screaming at you. Mm-hmm. So dopamine, you're feeling a lot of love, and then you totally crash at the end of the show.
Right.
You start thinking that one person loving you is not enough. It needs to be 10,000, it needs to be 80,000. Miley also added that her lack of desire has nothing to do with being afraid. Quote, I like to do things I'm afraid of. I've jumped out of airplanes. I've performed in front of 150,000 people. I stood toe-to-toe with Beyonce. I would never. That's a stupid question. I'm sorry. That's a dumb question. Good Morning America. Did you do any homework on this person? I don't even know. I couldn't name you five songs from Miley Cyrus. Yeah. Couldn't name you three. But even I know that this young lady has proved since her, Hannah Montana days?
Yeah, when she was a teenager. Afraid. Seriously.
Not afraid. Yeah. And the reporting on her throat. We just got done talking about that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
She's got some, literal health things going on.
That's why her voice sounds the way it sounds. Right. Because she's got those nodes or whatever on her vocal cords. Yeah.
So, we talk a good game about mental health. We need to back it up now.
Yep.
It's not enough to just say, and this is me as much as anybody else needing to do this. Doing these kind of things, I think we may look back on as brave.
Yes.
I will say in the current time I do, but I'm hoping that even with more perspective, we are able to do even more.
Well, think about what she's doing here. A couple of things I want to mention on this. First of all, she's not canceling a tour. She's not even starting one, which makes sense. Okay, so she's making the bet. It's not a bet, but she's making the decision, I should say, is that, you know what? I got a feeling that this may not go well, especially for where I am right now. When anytime you're talking about sobriety, it's about ritual, repetition kind of thing. And she knows going back on the road, she's going to fall back into those same things again. And she doesn't want to do that, okay? Which is very cool. I'm glad she recognizes that. She's turning down a lot of money. a lot of money by not touring now and supporting her music, right? So, I mean, that has to come into the equation as well. So it doesn't seem like a lot. She's already wealthy, you know, a big star. We know this kind of stuff. But you have to take that into consideration when you're talking about making this very big decision, because I'm also sure she doesn't want to let her fans down, which is another thing, because she knows she wouldn't be there without her fans. That's, you know, that all is in part of this decision that she made.
You know, especially when it comes to child stars, she's not still doing this for the money.
No.
No, she's mm-hmm. she's got that. And she didn't choose to have an adult singing career for fame or any of those things.
She was already famous.
Yep. The fact that she kept on with this is a love of music, is a love of fans, performing. Is a love of performing and mm-hmm. all of that. Yep. And I think a really strong point you made there is something that we need to touch on whenever we can. Artists, they make pennies on Spotify. They make pennies on that yep. stuff. No you make many, your yep. money on the road.
Yep.
You
make that your is money the main on the money. Road. Yep. That's where you make it.
To not do that is a killer for an artist. Mm-hmm. So I don't think she's doing this for any reason other than the one she's giving us.
Yep.
And I think there's a certain respect that deserves.
I agree.
You're a fan, again, I'm not yep. a fan of her or anything no. like that. But I am a fan of that. I'm a fan of the person she is and she's becoming more and more, it seems like.
Right. It'll be interesting to see where she goes from here. But she is growing as an artist. You know, her music has changed, you know, over the years, and it's interesting to see where she'll go from here.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick time out. We'll come back, and we're talking dad's emotions and thumbs up symbol.
Yes.
Coming up on 97.5 FM WFHR.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped 4 seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Still warm today with highs scraping the low 80s, showers and storms this afternoon and into this evening, bringing some heavy rainfall that could create flash flooding. A flood watch is in effect from 3 o'clock until 10 p.m. Plus, these storms could be packing high winds and a tornado, too. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 76.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Little War and Summertime to play Seth and I
nice
in.
Nice groove, yeah.
Song is so nostalgic to me. Immediately think of being in my dad's Monte Carlo on a hot day going down, you know, old road or whatever. That immediately was brought back to that as soon as I clicked that bumper.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of dads, we all know that dads can be a little bit, some, you know, more emotional than others, of course, and everything. Well, in a new poll, more than 1 in 3 people said a simple thumbs up from their dad was a sign of both love and support.
Just the thumbs up.
Nice.
Says a lot.
It does. I agree.
49% said that their dad would describe himself as, quote, not good at emotional stuff.
And say exactly that way, too.
Yes, exactly. Exactly that way. And women were more likely to receive an I love you from dad than men. But many dads just have their own subtle, heartfelt way of expressing their feelings. Mm-hmm. And it's being called dad speak. Because we have to label everything.
I was going to say the exact same thing. Yep, got to label it.
To demonstrate dad speak, here's a list of the top ways dads show affection.
Okay.
The top ways we do this, in no particular order.
All right.
Being there when you need him, even without saying much.
There you go. That's a good one. Yeah. All right.
Trying to pay for things. Yeah. Certainly, money can't buy love, can't buy happiness or anything, but sometimes it can also buy a lot less stress.
Absolutely. You're so right there, but it's a gesture. It's the thought, right? It's a kind of a gift, and that's what it means to do that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fixing things. Yeah. That's it.
You know, dads can take that overboard. In terms of, yeah, I'm not talking about fixing physical things, being a handyman, I still do it, you know, I still do that kind of stuff, but it's like trying to fix, like, emotional things and stuff that you can go overboard, so be careful with trying to fix things.
Sometimes. One of the better things you can learn as a human being for other human beings is that more times than not, when somebody is venting or talking to you, they just want you to listen.
That's all they want.
They don't need you to try to fix things. No. They would have asked for that.
Yep.
They didn't. How did it start? Did it start with "I need help with this," or "Oh my God, you won't believe this"?
Yeah,
you know, like listen to a person, and you really.
I know it's hard. It's hard not to do it. I've had to learn that myself.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard because you don't want them to feel bad. You don't want them to, you know, have these emotions. Not because you don't like emotions. Except they're bad emotions. You know, you want to help them with that, but sometimes you just can't do it. You just got to be there to listen.
Driving you places.
Yeah. Yes, ask my oldest son about that over the weekend, since he can't drive yet.
It's one of those. Offering to lend you tools or equipment. That's a big one with my dad.
All right. See, that's how they showed his affection that way.
My dad values his tools so much.
He
borrows something to my brother or I,
right,
you better bring that thing back. And if you don't, that's fine, but he ain't ever going to forget it.
Oh, and you're going to hear about it probably every time you see him. Yeah.
There's literally nothing else with my dad. A shirt, a baseball card, doesn't matter. But his tools,
very important.
Yeah. helping with your kids or pets, being a grandpa.
Oh, hey, yeah, absolutely.
Helping you move, grabbing you a drink if you need one, or food if you need it, those things. And forwarding you useful links on or news or stuff like that.
Right.
Which wraps up the list. Now, here's the thing about this list, and I looked at one that was very similar about moms.
Oh, okay. Sure.
And with moms and how they show affection, a lot of it is worded or physical touch.
Physical touch, right.
A shoulder, a hand on the shoulder, some of those things. There is also a lot of the notes in your lunch bag, you know, those kind of things. There's a lot more of that involved.
Right.
Dads are giving you just as much emotion. They are just showing it in a different way.
Yes. Acts of service. Almost everyone that you said here was an act of service, which is an act of love. That's what it is.
Most dads want to feel useful. Most dads is what a lot of this comes down to. And the way that they show love. And this isn't obviously every man,
No, not at all. Not at all.
But the majority of us, that's how we show love. Mm-hmm. Is by, let me be useful. Let me do the dishes. Let me do this. Let me take the garbage out. Let me do that. That's every time we're doing those things, every time we're giving a thumbs up, we're screaming, I love you. We're screaming,
true.
I care about you.
It's true.
There's just not, men were not built with this. We are built in a society that has men and women looked at as certain ways and treated
certain ways.
That's right. And that ain't, whether that's right or wrong, you guys, smarter people can go ahead and figure that stuff out. I'm more focused on today.
Yeah.
And modern dads, modern moms, and a lot of that.
I think about where I grew up, like physically where I grew up and the people that I grew up around. And there's not a lot, even with a lot of the women, there's not a lot of physical contact in that culture. doesn't mean they don't love people as, you know, any less than anyone else does. It's just not as common, you know? So as I have become a father and wanting to show more affection, you know, it's almost like you're allowing yourself to just, you know, allow yourself to, you know, hug your kid a little bit more, or, you know, or praise them a little bit, or whatever it is, right? That's something I've had to learn, because I grew up in a culture where it just didn't happen as much. It just, yeah, that was just part of how, where we were and how we grew up.
When it comes to I think the grace that we should have as kids with, mm-hmm, our dads and moms, yep, and everything, as we are growing into this, think about your great grandparents or some of them. Mm-hmm. There was no class. Okay, today we're going to teach you how to hug.
Right.
Today we're going to teach you how to care about your kid.
Yeah, like, right.
There's no blueprint on this. We're all just trying to figure it out as we go along.
Absolutely.
And two older generations that literally, like my mom's dad, my grandfather, I'm not sure he really knew how to hug. This man was one of the greatest attorneys in Chicago. He fought in two wars.
Sure.
Was an incredible father for four daughters.
Yep.
And I don't believe he could. If you asked him to hug you, I don't know if he would. All right, wait a minute. Put my arms here.
Where do I put my arms?
I can't be more literal about this. Like, whereas a man his same age, yeah, my papa, my dad's dad, was very affectionate, mm-hmm, and wanted to push back on that because he didn't come from a family of that.
Right.
But still didn't know how to do it. Like, there was no blueprint. So sure. We're teaching each other generation by generation and trying to get better about this. And to any pushback that this makes generations softer, I question your definition of hardness, of strength, of what real, true, you want to use this terminology, manliness is.
Sure.
Because I will tell you, I grew up around veterans. I grew, mm-hmm, up around athletes. I grew up against all the definitions, like, of manliness
tough,
there
right,
is.
Yeah.
Construction workers, blue collar to the core. And every one of these people I'm talking about, even my my grandfather that I'm talking about, were able to tell their kids they love them.
Right.
We're able to at least express some kind of things for the most part. Mm-hmm. At least we're trying to.
Yeah.
I will put my toughness up against anybody. That's such a silly argument to me. This idea that men aren't the men that they weren't used to or not. Well, for one side note, who raised those men?
That's a great point.
Like anybody complaining about the younger generations and they're not tough enough, they're not strong enough, who the heck raised them? They didn't raise themselves.
No.
Like, you look in the mirror.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you have a problem with this.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous. You're basically blaming yourself.
Yeah, obviously no self-awareness there at all.
And I don't know. What I see a lot of the younger generations handling, the way I see them adapting, they seem pretty strong to me. Mm-hmm. Seem pretty tough to me.
All right.
And I encourage people to be more graceful to each other with this stuff.
Absolutely.
As far as emotions and all that. Because it's messy. It's muddy. And there is no blueprint. For
no,
any of this.
No, emotions can get emotional.
Yeah, we will take. I really want to just go to write a break on that. I didn't want to laugh. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh. That's great. It's a great line. We'll be back after our news, sports, and partner break. We got some more fun coming up for you, everybody. We're going to get the FCC's attention with the most and least offensive swear word.
All right, yeah. We'll
see if we lose our job. We come back and have some more fun in the morning show.
WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A flood watch has been issued for portions of central and northeast Wisconsin. This includes Marathon, Portage, Washera, Wood, Shawano, and Waupaca counties. It begins at 1 p.m. this afternoon and continues until 7 p.m. this evening. The National Weather Service of Green Bay alerted to the possibility of flash flooding caused by excessive rainfall. They are predicting 2 to 3 inches of heavy rain this afternoon in a short period of time. Excessive runoff may result in flooding. Remember, turn around, don't drown. A recent study finds a link between the state's weak gun laws and firearm deaths for kids. A study published last month in the Pediatrics edition of the Journal of the American Medical Association looked at gun-related deaths for kids and teens from 2010 to 2023. Researchers compared states based on the strictness of their gun laws. They picked 2010 after a Supreme Court ruling that expanded gun rights in some states. They found that states with weaker gun laws, like Wisconsin, saw an increase in firearm deaths for youth. States with stricter laws saw those deaths stay the same or go down. Categorized as endangered in 2022, monarch butterflies may be getting some help from state lawmakers. Lisa Hale has more.
Monday, Wisconsin State Senator Rachel Cabral Guevara of Appleton introduced the legislation to make the endangered monarch butterfly the Wisconsin State Butterfly. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says since the 1980s, over 95% of the western monarch population has disappeared. They blame habitat loss, climate change, and pesticide use.
If this legislation passes, supporters hope greater awareness and support for the monarch's protection and habitat conservation will follow. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The All-Star Game ends in a tiebreaker. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the All-Star Game in Atlanta ended after 9 innings in a 6-6 tie. So for the first time in the game's history, it went into a tiebreaker. They call a swing-off, a mini home run derby. Philly slugger Kyle Schwarber managed to hit 3 home runs in a row to win the swing-off 4-3 and was named the game's MVP. Brewers pitcher Trevor Megill and the Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, each got a chance to play, retiring 4 batters, allowing just 1 hit between the two of them. Up next, the Brewers head to L.A. to open up a 6-game road trip against the Dodgers this weekend, followed by the Mariners in Seattle. NFL, Jordan Love holding his youth football camp in Milwaukee tomorrow afternoon.
You know, that's part of a mission of our foundation is to get kids, get the youth involved in sports. That was a big pillar in my life, was just being able to play sports as a kid, be together with the different kids in my age group, and meet NFL players now, too.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped 4 seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a good recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open. We'll tell you something good.
Still warm today with highs scraping the low 80s, showers and storms this afternoon and into this evening, bringing some heavy rainfall that could create flash flooding. A flood watch is in effect from 3 o'clock until 10 p.m. Plus, these storms could be packing high winds and a tornado, too. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 76.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there.
Yes, yes.
If your lexicon, your daily vocab, includes at least one four-letter word, you're in good company. A new survey found 39% of Americans can't get through an average day without swearing at least once.
That sounds about right.
No word on if that means, you know, your average, your grade school swear words or your adult swear words.
Not that kids in grade school swear.
Right. Of course not.
Of course. Never.
They would not. They're angels.
No,
they're angels.
No, I know I was. No. Nobody believes that. Nobody. Somebody who just turned our station off for the first time, the first time they're hearing me, doesn't believe that. That includes 25% who swear every day, and 12% or 1 in 8 Americans claim they never swear.
Oh, well, that's okay. I'm okay.
The poll looked at the settings and scenarios where people think swearing is acceptable or not, and which words we find the most offensive. Okay. And the top five times it's okay to swear are when you're alone.
Okay.
When you've hurt yourself.
Yeah.
When you're hanging out with friends.
Okay.
When you're at a sporting event. And swearing on social media is fifth. Those last two are, they're just making excuses for themselves.
They just needed to fill out five things on a list.
That more so than
the top three,
yes.
I am totally behind.
Yeah.
I'm totally. The other two, not really. No. Those are public spaces, you know? Even with friends, sometimes it feels a little cringy to me.
Yeah.
To like be cussing a lot. It's, I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I understand. That's just who I am, you know? And this was a man who was raised by a sailor.
Yeah,
who knows how to do it really well. So
literally raised by a sailor. Yes. Literally, if you know the phrase, you know what we're talking about.
Yes,
there.
Yeah.
So I think that comes from a good place.
Yes,
you know?
It's true.
A fair place.
Yes.
The top five times it's not okay are at church, in front of children, in front of a client at work. Swearing at an employee in a store.
Ooh, that's very bad. That's, yeah, don't do that.
And swearing in front of your boss.
That's just dumb.
Yeah.
Don't do that either.
I kind of like that we all agree to this. That all I'm good with all of these, mm-hmm. and I really like that as a society we all agree that those are, you know, right. how we feel about
right,
them.
Right.
They looked at 40 different swear words to see which ones 40? Were the worst.
There's 40 swear words?
Oh, we're okay. not going to be able to get into those.
No, not really.
But you, I think, can gather which are the worst.
Right.
And I will say that the word, like, in my family, again, I grew up in an Italian household.
Right.
That we are inclined to swear.
Are you telling me that Italians like to curse James?
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
It is one of the things we're known for. And
it doesn't matter what language it is either, man.
And that being said, we didn't swear in front of my mom. To this day, we don't really do it that much. Yeah. Now, my sister's a little more vocal about this stuff than I am. but my brother and I, we will even apologize sometimes when we do. And we're in my Nick's in his 30s. I'm in my 40s and all that.
Right.
And we still, but this is more of a respect thing to my mom and dad, who we didn't feel got enough respect growing up.
Okay.
Not so much from us as kids, but we meet as a family or even society, seeing the way my mom and dad were treated sometimes, I think it was more of a thing where we wanted to show them respect in the house.
Sure.
But of all this, we can, you know, it's not like we're going to get a bar of soap in our mouth, although that did happen to me as a kid once. I have never been able to look at, what's the green soap again? The
Irish Spring.
Can't look at it.
Can't even look at it. Wow.
I mean, I can, yes. But it's one of those, I look at it and immediately, like, I
remember you're
that
transported
taste.
Back. Yeah.
Even with all that, there's only one word that nobody has ever said in the house. Nobody has ever.
Yeah, I'm sure we can all guess what that is.
Everybody can guess where that is. Fill in the blanks.
My mother is the same way. Mm. My mother, and I have to give my father credit.
Really?
I'm not kidding, man. He was a traditional sailor. And if you've ever been around sailors, especially when they're together, they come fast and thick. That he would not say that one word. He policed himself. And he did a fantastic job. Because I don't remember him ever saying it until I was like almost in my 20s, kind of thing, like in my late teens. So credit to him for me policing himself on that.
Before my dad retired, one of his last jobs, he worked at Del Monte for a long time. Mm-hmm. And he was a picker and would be in the machines, and they'd go really slow. And he worked night shift a lot of the times. So when I was working, I would oftentimes play a slow ride for him and the guys listening.
Sure.
And I always like to catch him the next day or whenever I could and catch up. Hey, did you hear me throw that out there for you or whatever? I was about 3 years into radio, maybe even longer than that. And my dad, again, going back to fathers and emotions, I knew he was proud of me. I was working classic rock in radio and stuff. Sure. That wasn't in my car. That wasn't in the cards for me. So I knew he was proud of me for that, but he never said anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
The first time he ever complimented me about radio, I asked him about this, and he's like, I'm still floored you don't swear. I'm floored by that. Like, Just being able to go through a segment on air and not swear, my father was blown away by. Just to give like you,
there are rules, you know, and just to be clear,
yeah.
There are some rules about this, but
you can tell those rules. Seth and I are dancing on them right now.
Yeah, we are.
We're just dancing along them. We don't like heck. Had to get that in.
Yeah, that's nice. Very good.
The least offensive swear word is gosh.
Gosh, that's it.
So there's a barometer. Now, okay. That's what I was looking for. Are we talking traditional swear words,
yep.
George Carlin, seven words, all that kind
of
stuff?
Right.
Or are we talking about gosh and dang it and you know, that stuff? Because this is another thing. I get old. The older I'm getting, swear words, they don't hit like they used to.
No.
You know?
Even
in the most angry or most excited situations.
Right. To be very, very clear, okay? Miss me with people say, oh, back in the day, people didn't swear. Oh, come on.
Oh, get over
people
that.
Swore. They knew all the words.
Yeah.
They just, it wasn't on certain, you know, it wasn't on popular, you know, in the mass culture. It wasn't on radio. It wasn't in the movies. And it wasn't on television. So, yeah, when we go back and look, they didn't swear there because they didn't swear there. That's what it was. People still swore. My mom got me on that one because she was like, yeah, because they didn't swear. I was like, Mom, no, stop that. Stop it right now. People swore all the time. They've always sworn a lot.
To the point, when it comes to the reason that we are where we are as far as the FCC and what swear words we can and can't say and all of that, the majority of all of these stories start with John Wayne. John Wayne. Everybody's definition of cowboy. Everybody's definition of toughness, strength, mm-hmm. including myself. John Wayne would not do a scene because in his foot got caught in a bear trap, he didn't think his character should say, gosh darn it.
Right.
That's not what happens when a person gets their foot caught in a bear trap. That, the reason swear words were invented was for that situation.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're supposed to, your job as an actor is to be believable, that's not believable.
Right.
John Wayne was steadfast on this and stood on this hill and would die on that hill.
Right.
And that's a big part of why we're where we are today with those things in you know, media and in not just in movies, but in media and TV shows, music, everything. It really starts right there. Again, gosh is the least offensive swear word, followed by heck and then darn.
But these are all substitutes for other words.
Right.
We have to remember that too. They're just the kinder, gentler versions.
But this is why I love going to what are you know, fun words that aren't really curse words, but we say them and they feel like it.
They feel
yeah. I love words like that. I think as I'm getting older, I'm enjoying using those words more than your traditional swear words.
Well, and you know, it's funny because when you look at the words that would be at the top of this list, I think the most offensive, they contain the hard K sound.
Yes.
Which is not only one of the funnier sounds, it also is because it's so, you know, short. And it's explosive. That's part of what it is, and that's why it works so well as a swear word. As you know, as part of a swear word, is that it's so abrupt and like bam, you know, that kind of thing.
I find saying the word like you would say a traditional swear word also helps.
Yes,
son of a monkey.
Yeah,
you know that kind of thing. Yeah, it's great. That's fun. Sugar plum fairy.
Yeah, right. Although, to be fair, if you use some of these, you get weird. Like, you might as well just swear. You know, if you use some of the alternatives, it's just, wait a minute. Yeah. Stop that. What are you doing? That's weird. Stop being weird.
I can't. I physically can't. God, I wish I could. We will take a quick time out. Come back in more morning show.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sports.
Still warm today with highs scraping the low 80s, showers and storms this afternoon and into this evening, bringing some heavy rainfall that could create flash flooding. A flood watch is in effect from 3 o'clock until 10 p.m. Plus, these storms could be packing high winds and a tornado, too. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 78 degrees.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Thanks for joining us. We're going to have some fun tomorrow. We'll be back at this then. Mm-hmm. Join us for the morning show tomorrow. Serious comedy to start your day.
Yeah.
For now, taking a look at some good things going on in our area and our schedule, I want to remind you that we got the Rapids Report for you daily. Be sure to join us for that at WFHR.com. Mm-hmm. Today, we're going to be joined by our great friends over at the Historic Point Boss.
All right.
Going to talk a little Civil War days. That's coming up on July 26th over there.
Cool. Very cool.
We'll be talking about that with the gang. God, I love talking to those guys. Yeah, I don't tell Sage, but he didn't have to pay me for those. I just love talking with them. It's gonna be a lot of fun. We'll be doing that a little bit later. Looking forward to it. And I'll be in action with Playmakers. We speak sport.
Mm-hmm.
Playmakers from 4 to 5 on 105.5 WIRI. Join us for our live call-in sports show that we're able to do thanks to Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods.
Very nice.
Sports director here in the studios, Michael Comer, will be joining me today.
Nice.
Looking forward to that. Talk a little All-Star game,
yep.
Some local sports, rafters, plenty more.
All right.
Speaking of the rafters, they are still in their All-Star break. They'll be back in action this Friday, just like MLB.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have more baseball then for you.
I know. Ever. It's so weird not having any baseball right now. Not rafters, not Major League Baseball. Oh, it's weird. It's the middle of summer. Where's the baseball?
To be old man yelling at cloud and give you a little preview of Playmakers a little bit later. Quit calling this a dead time in sports. That was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That was 30 years ago.
Get out of here with that.
There is no dead time in sports anymore. No. Every sport, football, basketball, all of them, their transactions, all right. That, it's going on 24/7. Right. There is no off time anymore. We'll talk about that on Playmakers a little bit later.
Nice, nice. Very good.
We'll get into that and plenty more. Did want to remind everybody that motorists will encounter detour enclosures on Wisconsin 73 near Pittsville and Wood County from July 16th through July 17th at 4 o'clock from the Wisconsin DOT.
All right.
Keep that in mind. Everybody drive slow over there. And look out for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Look out for our workers over there.
Absolutely.
It is a Wednesday. We all know what that means.
Bingo.
Bingo.
Bingo at the Elks Lodge, everyone. Yeah. Doors open at 5. Bingo starts at 6:30. Always a fun time to support our Elks and win some fun prizes as well. Keep that one in mind, everyone. They're, of course, at 430 West Jackson Street, the Elks Lodge, number 693. Support them in all the support they do for our community.
Big shout out to them. Mm-hmm. Big shout out to the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. They got their Rendezvous in the Park going on tonight.
Yeah, in Nakusa.
Check out one of the most beautiful parks you'll ever see, Riverside Park at 916 Prospect Avenue in Nakusa. Going on today, brought to us by Urco Worldwide and Domtar. Shout out to them. Shout out to Chatterbox Catering. Yep. They're going to be down there. Gotta love Chatterbox.
They're great.
Good
love
food.
Them.
And the entertainment for tonight, the Shanty Towners.
You know, I had to look them up because I was just so curious about somebody them. And they are like old-timey bluegrass kind of music, acoustic good stuff. It's a big group, too. They got a lot of folks, and they're all really good. So that sounds like a lot of fun. Check it out, everybody.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick look at Thursday events. And this Thursday, it's so good to say this again.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Talking about the farmer's market, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't set you up well on that.
That's okay. I just wanted to be sure.
Having the farmer's market.
It's always a classic. I mean, head on down there, everyone. If you haven't been there in a long time, it's great. There's so many vendors there. There's so many people that I've seen there so far this year. It is awesome there. Of course, there every Thursday and Saturday from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. through October 11th, just down there on First Avenue South, just along the beautiful Wisconsin River. I can't tell you, it's on a nice day. Nothing better than heading down to the farmer's market in downtown Wisconsin Rapids.
Yeah, check that out, everybody. We have a blood drive happening tomorrow that I want to let you know about. That'll be going from 10 to 3. Friday. That'll be on Friday.
Yes. Friday, okay.
Friday over at McMillan Library from 10 to 3. You can donate at McMillan at 490 East Grand Avenue right here in Rapids.
Nice.
Also, lunch by the river going on tomorrow over at Veterans Memorial Park. Be sure to check that out. Going to have Max Bennett's with
Ben. Minutes, yes.
And it's sponsored by Tri-City Services. Going to have some great food down there. Check out Lunch by the River. We'll talk more about that tomorrow.
Amazing.
And Seth, one more thing we wanted to touch on.
Yes, coming up a week from today, everyone, down at Crossview Church right after Heroes Cafe. The Wood County Veterans Expo will be happening from 9 a.m. to noon. Join the Toma VA Medical Center and the Wood County Veterans Service Office as they have a whole bunch of groups there that offer services and benefits to veterans and their families. It's a great way to catch up on all the stuff that's going on right now. There's lots of changes everywhere, and this is a good place to go to find out more about that and find out all the services and benefits that you deserve as veterans and as family members who have helped them as they have served our country.
Also wanted to mention, especially we're talking about the Grand Rapids Lions Club, they're going to be hosting the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center's Touch a Truck event, their fifth annual. It'll be going on July 26th, 11 to 3. This is a free event for a family. Bring everybody on down. Not only is this one of the bigger, if not the biggest fundraiser for the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center, helping us do some vital work in this community, some of the most vital work. You come to this event, bring the kids. They're going to check out some of all the big hitters going to be down there. We're going to have the Wisconsin Rapids Police Department, the Sheriff's Department, the Fire Department down there, all these cool trucks for the kids to check out. Not just me, but the kids as well.
Not just you, James.
Yeah.
Not just you.
It's a very fun event. I love this event. Make plans to join us for the fifth annual Touch-A-Truck event with vehicles of all types, kids' games, food, raffle, and so much fun. Free event for the family on July 26th from 11 to 3 over at the Grand Rapids Lions Club.
Nice.
And I do want to send a shout-out to our Wisconsin Rapids Municipal Zoo and Helen's Zoo House. It's a part of it over at 1911 Gaynor Avenue. Just make plans next Wednesday, everybody. Zoozort coming to town.
They're back. Every year they come around this time. Yeah.
11 and at 1, they will be over at Helen's Zoo House next week on this week from today. So just remind everybody about that.
Free event.
Make plans and head on over there and check that out. And head on over to WFHR.com and sign up for that newsletter.
Yes. Yes, indeed. It's got all you need. Another fresh new one coming out tomorrow at noon. So sign up today.
Got a new edition lined up for you, and they're working hard at it right now for you, everybody. Be sure to get on over there. And when you're commenting on it, be sure to let us know if there's stories you'd like to see us cover or things you would like to But also, if there are things you like. You know, we appreciate that.
We like to hear from that, too. Yeah.
We've been really fortunate. You know, you guys are pretty great about that, and we appreciate it. We just want to let you know that we not only appreciate it, but that is fuel. We build on that stuff.
We do.
So really do appreciate y'all out there. A Delta employee gave a frequent flyer one of her kidneys.
Wow.
Yeah. The surgery happened in December, and they're both doing great.
Wow.
Delta recently gave her an award for providing outstanding customer service.
Fair. That's good. Wow.
Like, how you like to be the person that wins it after her?
Seriously.
Like,
I mean,
like, that's not fair, man. Like,
I gave a kidney.
How you topping that? There's no topping that. Climbers in Hawaii rescued a goat that was stranded on the side of a cliff for over a week.
Oh, no.
She was 120 feet up with no way down. Once they got her off the cliff, a guy carried her down a path on his back. An animal rescue place took her in, and she is in good health.
Nice.
And it turned out she was pregnant.
Oh, dear. Of course.
They're accepting donations to help pay for everything. You can go to GoatFundMe campaign. I love it. I love that.
Oh, goodness.
The video and the people went through this, them telling of this story is so moving, man.
Really?
It's so, yeah. Wow. It really, you wouldn't think, I went into it.
Sure.
I like goats. So I just read it because I was
reading it's a goat story.
You get it. You really get pulled into it.
Right,
it's
right.
Really interesting. And you talk about above and beyond. Mm-hmm. If they didn't do this, nobody would have ever heard of this story, of course.
Right.
And I think it's really cool they did that. And a message in a bottle tossed in the ocean in Canada just showed up in Ireland 13 years later.
Oh, cool.
A couple named Brad and Anita Squires had been dating for a year when they had a picnic by the ocean and shared a bottle of wine. They wrote a note that said, "We enjoyed dinner, the bottle of wine, and each other."
Aww.
A couple in Ireland found it last Monday and got in touch. Brad said they were young and in love when they tossed the bottle, and now they're old and in love. They got married in 2016 and have three kids.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's very sweet. And they're immediately fined for littering.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Have a great day, everybody. Be good to each other.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is facing mounting criticism from both sides of the political aisle over the Justice Department's failure to release records in Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking case. CBS's Scott McFarland.
The president is trying to turn the page and move people past this, but his social media posts so far have not done that over the past few days.
Los Angeles police have made an arrest in the murder of an American Idol executive and her husband.
Homicide investigators with the assistance of LAPD's Gang and Narcotics Division, FBI Fugitive Task Force, took that suspect into custody without incident.
The suspect is 22. Forecasters are keeping a close eye on thunderstorms in the Gulf. The Hurricane Center's Jack Bevin.
The most likely area to get the worst of the rain would be portions of southern Louisiana, but everywhere from the Florida Panhandle through southern and central Louisiana could get locally heavy rain over the next few days.
CBS News Brief, I'm